So every intention, everything you do, everything you say has an effect, and you are co-creating with the universe intelligence because you have a role in whatever you do. You have a say in whatever you do. Just made me go down the rabbit hole, and I started seeking, and I wanted to understand the meaning behind suffering, why these things in life have to happen to us. And in hindsight,
welcome to our greatest performance. My name is Mackenzie Rose Gorman, and I'm a coach, entrepreneur, creative, and advocate for holistic well-being. This podcast is your gateway to aligning with your purpose, tapping into ancient wisdom, and embodying your fullest potential. I'm extending the official invitation to step boldly into living your life as your greatest performance. Thanks for tuning in. Let's dive into today's greatness.
Okay, I'm gonna double intro here for a second because I needed to record this before getting into the actual episode. Haley is one of the most magnificent human beings. I'm so genuinely lucky to have her in my life. I'm releasing this episode. I'm looking forward to being in the future looking back on this. I'm releasing this on the week of her 30th birthday, and I just wanted to put this in here as a dedication to Hey and the human she is. And I hope that everyone has a Hey in their lives who is just filled with curiosity and compassion and wisdom and absolute goodness. She adds so much to my life, and this episode is just a gem, just like she is. It's a gem. Soak it up, really marinate in it. There's so many good things in this one about life and following your curiosity with life and finding purpose and alignment and all of the things that we talk about on this show. So just wanted to verbally voice my love for this human and for this episode. I really hope you enjoy it.
All right. Today on the show, we have someone who is very near and dear to my heart. She was the person that actually taught me Reiki and was my Reiki teacher. Today we have Haley on the podcast. She is one of the most sought after Reiki healers and teachers in Los Angeles. She's passionate about helping people heal their mind, body, and spirit, as she's a firm believer that true well-being encompasses a balance and awareness of all three. Hay is currently attending a master's degree in clinical psychology in hopes of creating a practice that specializes in a mind-body spiritual approach in relationship to self, others, and society. And Hay is the author of Reiki Illustrated, the visual reference guide of hand positions, symbols, and treatment sequences for common conditions, published by Penguin Random House, which can be ordered on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple Books today. Hay, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
This will be fun. I feel like something you and I have so much in common of is the way that we approach the world from a more integrative, holistic lens, looking at the many pieces of us that all contribute to who we are in our wholeness instead of part and parceling them out. As we originally linked through Reiki, I would love to hear about your path to Reiki. Was this something that you always endeavored to do, or was there a specific moment or instance that you felt Reiki called to you, or you felt called to Reiki and realized that this is what you wanted to do? And as you talk about getting into it, also, can you give an explanation in case someone doesn't even know what Reiki is?
Oh, yes. So Reiki is a spiritual healing modality. Rei means spiritual or universal. Ki means life force energy. So this ki is mentioned, like, it's the same thing as qi, mentioned in Chinese medicine, light mentioned in the Bible. This is a vital force that keeps us alive and functioning every day. So it is within each and every one of us, and it is all around us. You know, this is a universal intelligence that created us. So as a practitioner, you are not taking as a client, you're not taking energy from me. I am just a channeler of this energy so that it can promote healing for you, whether that's physical, mental, or spiritual.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds esoteric to some people, I think. But the way I describe it to people is sometimes, you know, when your kid falls on the floor, you know, what is the first thing you do? You place your hands on the wounded area, right? And then when when you have a headache, what do? You place your hands on your head to make it feel better. And we have been using our hands since the beginning of time to heal. And there's so many modalities that have come out of this, and Reiki being one. And science has actually been catching up that there's this light that emits out of our hands at all times. And with the right intention and the attunements and the symbols, you can help someone to promote healing.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing about what Reiki is. I feel like when we're in that, in a world where something is familiar to us, we forget that so many people don't access or don't know what it is.
It's so funny because I live it. Sorry to cut you off. I was just saying, because I live in LA and I think I live in a bubble too. It's like I just expect people to know. And I sometimes have to remind myself that not everyone is, you know, connected to this world.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I'll redirect you back to what was it, or how did you know, or how did Reiki find you? How did you find this time?
So since I was young, I know I've always been very sensitive to energy. And my friends, you know, have told me that I have ESP and I'm psychic, and since I was in middle school. So there was something about energy healing that really interested me. But I started noticing signs. So when I went to this wellness retreat, which was invited by my friend and her boss. And so I got to go on this retreat for free, which was like another sign of like me, basically like I was supposed to be there. And the instructor had us lay hands on each other to send each other a good energy. And these people came up to me after the exercise and was like, oh, I think you have something here. I think it's worth exploring. So that planted a seed. But then I like didn't really think too much about it after I got home. And then I think the word Reiki kept popping up. And before I went to that wellness retreat, I was practicing yoga every single day. I was in a corporate setting. And truly, the only time I felt like a human being and not a robot was on my yoga mat. So I knew, I think on the weekends, instead of going out to parties and hanging out with my friends, I started looking at these retreats and going on these adventures that really filled me up, because I wasn't feeling like a human. And I think that these experiences or my time on the yoga mat was the only time that gave me some kind of connection that I needed. Because I felt so lost and confused and unfulfilled. So I got Reiki certified, and then, you know, it wasn't, I always say, like, I think sometimes people expect it to be some kind of like a magic pill. It's like you get certified and then you have all these healing abilities, and it wasn't like that, and it should never be like that. But I started practicing on my friends and family and my coworkers while I was still at my corporate job. And then I saw my friends and my coworkers start like crying in front of me. And that planted a seed. But I still then, I didn't think I was going to do this as a career or, you know, quit my job and do this instead. So like just little, I think a life is a series of planting seeds and following that and listening to the nudges and the signs and swimming with the universe intelligence, because it's always telling you something. It's always communicating with you. So it's like slowing down to notice what has been communicated to you. And at that time, being a healer, practicing Reiki was the sign that I was receiving from the other side to pursue.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. I think it's so relatable because so many people end up following the path that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe we're fed by society generally. And yes. then we're at a job where we can't stand it, or we're crying, or our coworkers mm-hmm. are crying. And you feel this feeling like there's something out there, there's something different. And yeah, maybe
something more.
There's something more. And some people yeah. feel like they get signs and some people don't. But mm-hmm. I think what you said that's just so important is slowing down enough to yeah. listen, opening yeah. yourself up enough to listen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just going to add, even if you're not spiritual and you are like, I don't know what signs are, I don't know how to receive them, you can mm-hmm. start by asking, like, you can replace that word with curiosity and be like, what am I curious about? What are my innate interests? And that can be a sign too. Like, it doesn't have to be so, you know, metaphysical and not physical related. It can be practical as well.
Yes. Okay. That's where I was going to go next. If you're curious about your purpose and you feel like maybe I have one, maybe I don't, or maybe I'm getting signs and maybe I don't, but I feel like there's more to life, or I'm not mm-hmm. fully on my path. What advice or like tips and tricks have you learned along the way to kind of get more into that alignment or to curate that curiosity?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, so I spent a lot of time in solitude because I think I was going through what, you know, people consider a quarter life crisis. and I, you know, and after college, it is a weird time because you're like forced into this real life without any instructions, and you kind of get placed into this job position that you think that you want because of the perks, or maybe the pay, or it's the health insurance, or maybe it's where your friends are working, and you're just kind of trying things out. And I think you should do that in your 20s. And so I started asking myself, like, what do I like to do in my free time? You know, like when no one is watching, on the weekends, what do I do? And I read a lot of books on psychology, spirituality, went to many wellness retreats, did yoga. So like that, I knew I wanted to work or help people feel better, whether that was like physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. And I also asked myself, if money didn't matter, what would I do? Because I think some of the decisions that we do make is because, are led because, I mean, those are very valid reasons for, like, because you want a roof over your head, because you want savings, or because you have these big dreams for yourself, you know? And I think those are valid, but you could also ask yourself, if money didn't matter, what would you do? You know? And also, I think that is important, but also, what are you innately good at? Like, what are your innate talents? Because those can be your interests, but if you're not good at holding space for people, or let's say I believe that each and every one of us is born with a unique gift or innate talent. So it's combining, like, what am I naturally good at, and what do I like? And is there a market for that? Can I somehow provide value or service to other people where I can get financially rewarded for the gifts that I nurture? And then I think I also asking, like, what does your dream job look like? Whether that is the hours that you work, where you work, do you want to work remotely? Do you want to work for someone else? Do you want to work in a team? Do you want to lead? What kind of people do you want to work with? Do you need a job that allows you to be creative? Do you need something that is more structured? Do you want to travel? It's like those little things that I started envisioning for myself. And I even saw the lives where my bosses and their bosses in my corporate setting, and I didn't want their jobs or their lives. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing that was motivating me to work harder or show up, or, so I just, I think those are the questions that I ask internally. But even, I will say, like, even if I knew those answers, it wasn't easy for me to shift or quit my job because there's so much, it's scary to go into the unknown, especially when you come from a traditional background and more of like a conservative upbringing.
Okay. Yeah. Those are all such actionable and amazing pieces of advice. I hope that the listeners can take those and journal on it or think about it or have discussions with themselves or people they love around those things, because that's a really good way to start this path of kind of figuring it out. In regards to you mentioning a conservative upbringing and all of that, I really think that a lot of times we also get clues or like signs when we're younger of the things that light us up or that other people see in us, things like that. Were there pieces of your childhood or components of who you were young that kind of point, when you look back, you're like, oh, of course I ended up in this space?
Yeah. So the first thing I did, one of the first things I did when I went through my first heartbreak in college was to, I just sat in a random psychology course because I was so interested in the human brain. And I wasn't a psych major then. I was in environmental studies. And I ended up minoring in psych because I was just so interested in it. But that was the first thing that I did. And the first thing I did was to seek out a healer and a therapist. Like, I wanted to make meaning and understand my suffering, or understand why this person came into my life and what I learned from this situation and experience. And I, even when I was young, I used to ask so many questions to my parents to a point where they would get a little bit agitated. They're like, I don't know the answers to those questions. Like, why are you asking me so many questions? And I thought, they actually thought I was going to be a lawyer, and because I love to investigate, I love to ask really deep questions. And I, even when I was young, I remember also predicting the future a lot. So I think it's a combination of, like what your parents tell you, like your innate gifts and what your interests were, like you said, like since you were young, that really does, in hindsight, it does make sense that I, you know, I do what I do today and that I'm also back in school to be a therapist now. But even 2 years ago, I never thought I would go back to school. But like now that I am in school and learning about psychology, I'm like, yeah, that's the first thing you did when you went through a heartbreak. It's like, it makes sense that you're going back to grad school. But even when I was like, should I go back to school? Like that, like I, you know, sat with that for 6 months, and I still, I think in hindsight, I think your life comes together and you're like, oh, that makes sense. But when you're in it, sometimes it's difficult to kind of remember all the points.
Yeah. Or you can't fully see. It's like being inside of a box and trying to read what's on the outside of the box. It's like, you gotta kind of get distance or space from things sometimes. So when you're moving through it, you can't totally see it.
And I think before, I don't think like this anymore, but I think before I was scared about making the wrong decision, you know.
Tell me more.
So if I went to grad school, right? So if I didn't go to grad school, like I could focus maybe more on building my healing practice or working on my podcast and being an entrepreneur. But I think that, you know, there's so many different ways and paths to get to where you want. And I think at the end, it will all come together, and it doesn't matter. And I really believe that nothing is wasted. So like even, you know, I look back and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have stayed at that corporate job for 2 years. But that position helped me. I was an account executive doing tech sales. So that really helped me learn how to reach out to people that I don't know. And I think those skills helped me grow my healing practice in a very short amount of time as well, because I think there's so many gifted healers in this world, but a lot of them maybe don't know how to market themselves or don't think that maybe it's, you know, maybe they have the imposter syndrome. So it's like there's so many aspects to that goes into how your work is being put out in the world, right? So like you can be really gifted, yeah. but if you don't have those other skills, then maybe other people won't know what you're doing. So I truly believe nothing is wasted. And I am grateful for all the jobs I've had in the past. And I really do believe that there's so many different roads to get to your final destination or your final dream or your big dream or what you envision for yourself.
Yeah, we can't predict the way we're going to get there, how it's going to happen, but we can follow our excitement and follow what feels really good to us and then follow kind of like signs and synchronicities as well. Yeah. We've had conversations about this and I know you teach a little bit about this. Could you talk to me a little bit about your perspective on synchronicity and what that is and what that means from your eyes?
Yeah. I think you describe it as like winks from the universe. Is that right?
I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, in my life, there have been so many synchronicities that like, there's no way it was random. Like there's no way those those happenings and situations or like opportunities were random. So I started paying attention to what came on my path. And some of these opportunities, as soon as I started shifting my work and as soon as I quit my job, I noticed more synchronicities because I felt like I was swimming with the current as opposed to swimming against the current. Mm-hmm. And I feel that when you are aligned with what the universe intelligence is guiding you towards and you're on that same path or the same flow, like things happen just quicker or fast, like the right people come into your life or the right opportunities come into your life. And you're like, okay, like I am being supported. I am being guided. And for me, yeah, synchronicities can happen almost every day. But I think that when you are connected to what is being guided, they happen a lot quicker too.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. Yeah, I think I believe something similar, which is we're being, if you want to think of it as like communicated to or guided, etc. When you start to align, you have more and more of that as kind of like a signal of you're on the right track. You are aligning your humanness with your spirit, soul, you know, the eternal part of you and your gifts and all of that. And when those come together, it becomes easeful and you're not forcing and you're not swimming against the current, like you said. I think that's a perfect analogy.
And they're fun.
They are.
And you, like, receive. Like,
Yeah. They're kind of mind-boggling sometimes. You're like, oh, of course this happened. Because it happens a lot once you get into flow. And at the same time, every time I'm like, wait, what? Like, that was so cool. And and I think it just continues to add to the feeling of excitement and momentum as you go towards wherever you're going.
And confidence
and
that
confidence.
You are on the right path.
Yes. What's your perspective on confidence, and what's been your kind of path with confidence as you started as an initial like new Reiki practitioner and then as you've grown? Because you've worked with some, you know, many celebrities in LA. You've had a very prolific career in a short amount of time. What's been your relationship with confidence through all of that?
I think with Reiki, it's interesting because I think the more I'm able to channel and see clients, not from like I am holding sessions for you, but like whatever is meant to happen will happen, and I'm just a channeler, like the better the session is, the more I am detached from the session and the outcome, I think sometimes the person, the client receives a little bit more. Because sometimes as like, you know, as a therapist, as a healer, like you want the client to, you know, receive the medicine and feel something. And, you know, you want to provide what they paid for. But the more I do that, I think the less potent the medicine is. And it's funny because I've worked with celebrities and people that I've like looked up to. And sometimes I'm like, I have like put so much pressure on myself. Sometimes I'm like, oh, like this has to be a really great session. Mm-hmm. And then I can't be grounded or be present. And that takes away from the experience. So with confidence, in regards to Reiki, I try to stay out of like the ego and I explained to them like I am just a channel, a tool, and you can do this, you know, without me, but I am going to give you the tools to help you connect to something greater than yourself.
It's beautiful. Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about my favorite healers and coaches and all of that, which is they're not saying I am the end all be all and you need me to be whole, you need me to heal, you need me to be well. They'll teach you and show you and tell you that you can do this yourself, but sometimes we need to do kind of like outsourcing, or you know, like we can't always give it to ourselves, or we don't know how, or we don't want to. Like sometimes we don't have a full cup and we need someone else to pour into us a little bit. Yeah. So I think that's a great point.
Yeah, I kind of did like compare it to having like a personal trainer. It's like you know you can work out on your own, but when you have someone there pushing you, motivating you, reminding you, or maybe even helping you, you're just gonna try harder. And you might get there faster, and you're gonna held accountable. And sometimes, you know, there's power in numbers too. So when someone is in the same room as you, you're, I think you're more inclined to do your best.
Yeah, I mean, support is everything. We could do a lot of life on our own, but in gaining support and encouragement and someone on our side in our corner, you know, it makes us, like you said, kind of maybe put in more effort or feel more inspired or just feel like more held and able to do whatever it is we're endeavoring to do. And I remember when I first got a Reiki session with you before you became my teacher, because I had been experiencing a series of signs and synchronicities towards Reiki. And I randomly found you through, I don't know exactly how. And then we found out we had mutual friends and all this stuff and, it, you know, like the small world thing. But then I think back now of, you know, in what capacity are these healers that I go to and coaches and stuff necessary? And it's not even, that's not the right question. It's not like, are they necessary? Because we can do it alone. It's, do you want the support? Do you want the accountability? Do you want someone like cheering for you or believing in you and seeing in you or seeing you? And that's exactly it. Yeah. I'm really curious. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, like, sometimes you just need a sounding board too. Sometimes you have all the answers, or you know what to do, or you know what needs to be done, but you don't realize it unless you say it out loud, or unless you journal it, unless you have a conversation with someone else who can also validate your feelings and validate that you are not feeling, that you're not crazy for feeling X, Y, and Z, or that you are being supported and that everything that you're feeling is normal after a breakup, after a loss, or, you know, whatever it is that you're going through. sometimes you just need a person to help you feel validated and just need a sounding board, a safe sounding board.
Oh, that's such a good ad. Yeah, it's so much about, I always call it permission. Because we deeply, in so many ways, know, or we have these feelings. And then a lot of times, especially when we're not tuned into our intuition, or it's something where we're still wanting or needing to practice it, we'll have these thoughts, these feelings. And then when someone can act as that sounding board to bounce ideas off of, or give us permission to be a certain way or to think a certain way, it's so validating, and it feels really empowering.
Totally.
Yeah. I think therapy is a really strong modality for practicing that as well. Sometimes people just need someone safe to run their thoughts through, or bounce their ideas and thoughts off of. And as you move forward towards having this degree and becoming a therapist, what does that look like in your eyes to have to be a therapist and then to incorporate spirituality?
Yeah, I believe that there are so many tools out there, and there's a wide range of modalities, and not everything is going to work for you. And I think depending on what you're going through, depending on who, like your makeup and your beliefs, like there's going to be other modalities that work better. Sometimes some modalities will be time sensitive. So for me, I just wanted to, I guess, broaden my toolbox so that I can treat people holistically and, you know, kind of tailor to each person and each client that I am seeing.
Yeah. What or how do you anticipate advising someone who is like, I think there's, you know, maybe a higher power, or maybe there's something out there, but I don't really know what, but I feel that I'm not alone, or I don't want to feel alone in the world. How do you kind of direct that kind of energy where it's not like, I have a strong spiritual practice, but it's a curiosity. How do you cultivate now with that, with maybe Reiki clients or friends or family, or just in general? What are your thoughts kind of that bridge, and how can it be something where people cannot feel intimidated or maybe confused by, you know, all the spiritual concepts and things like that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's so many resources and books and teachers and modalities. And I think it's really dipping your toes into what interests you and seeing what sticks. For me, it really started with yoga. So on my yoga mat was when I got my best ideas, when I was channeling, and that planted a seed to go a little deeper into the spiritual practice. And then I started going to wellness retreats, and then that led to Reiki. And now I combine breath work, meditation, and even oracle cards in my Reiki session, kind of picking and choosing what has worked for me into a 75-minute session. So I think I would provide a wide range of teachers, modalities, practices, and leaving it up to the client to see what is interesting to them.
I love that. Yeah. Because, yeah, not everything's going to resonate. Not everything's going to be something that someone's interested in. And that's why we have so many different teachers to learn from. Yeah. So this podcast is called Our Greatest Performance, because I'm really interested in high performance, peak performance. Like, what does it mean to not just do something, but do it really well and maintain a high level at whatever we're doing? But the perspective that, or the shift that I'm making with this podcast, is that we perform at being ourselves. I believe in a soul. And so it's like, if we have an eternal soul, but right now my soul is and gets to experience being Mackenzie Rose Gorman. Your soul gets to experience being Haley. How can we make our life like this most amazing performance and optimize our wellness and optimize our relationships and be the most healthy and well and all of these different things that, you know, similarly to both of our perspectives, you know, make up the whole self and like a deep, rich, full life. Mm-hmm. And with you as a healer who's giving a lot to others, who as an entrepreneur working on various projects, I'm curious, what are a few practices you have? It could be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, that are kind of like good for your maybe spiritual hygiene, your energetic hygiene, your mental hygiene. What are some things that you do to take care of yourself, to be more well, to have more energy, to feel good?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I will say that I start my morning most days with yoga. I go to Hot 8 Yoga in Santa Monica, and there's something about moving your body first thing in the morning that really wakes up your brain, that gets your body moving, that starts your day. It's also like starting your day with one of the hardest things, and you already completed that. So that gives you momentum to keep going and keep conquering tasks and to your to-do list. And I've realized that I am the most productive when I move my body first thing in the morning. And really, sometimes getting in the car is the hardest part. And once you're moving your body, working out, it's the hardest part is over. And just getting there is sometimes the hardest in the morning. But once you do that daily, I think it's like proven that after 30 days, something becomes a habit and your body, you know, is almost like dependent on it, or it's easier for you to conquer that task. So I think it's been almost like 40 days since I've been trying to go to yoga every single morning, and every morning I look forward to it, and I've been having really productive days.
That is a goodie. Yeah, getting yourself in the habit of something, and also having the identity of I am someone who does XYZ in the morning because this, and yeah, getting over the hurdles or like the barriers to entry, whether they're real or imagined, and getting in the groove. Yeah. What about energetically? So when we work with clients in a healing capacity or something like that, there's a tendency, I know, for some to like kind of take on other people's energy or kind of be burdened by what you're helping others move through. Are there any practices there that help you like cleanse that and keep yourself and your boundaries kind of straight?
Yeah. Yes. So I spend a lot of time in nature. I am a big ocean lover. My place is actually a six minute walk from the beach. And I try to, take a walk outside and just be surrounded by nature whenever I feel depleted energetically. And really, nature is the greatest healer, and we all have access to it. It's free. And it's always available.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister says something over the years that I've adopted, which is jumping in the ocean is an aura cleanse.
It is.
It's one of the most cathartic things. Not everyone has access to the ocean, but being in nature for sure is free.
Even forest bathing, like you are doing right now. Yeah. And
I'm pretending. getting your feet on the ground, all of that. Absolutely. I'm curious if you're open to sharing something difficult that you went through that brought up the feelings of how will I get through this, or what am I doing, or some kind of, you know, general dis-ease, discombobulation, and how did you move through it and what did you learn from it? I think that there's so much we can learn from our pain, and I'm curious if you have something to share with us around that.
So I think when I think about my earliest struggles, I think about my childhood and my parents fighting, and they're divorced right now. And to give you context, they went through a really bad divorce, and till this day, they don't talk. So that will give you kind of an understanding of what kind of family upbringing I was in. And then I didn't really think too much about my childhood until I went through my heartbreak, my first relationship heartbreak in college. And that experience really taught me, brought up all the, shed light on all the wounds that I had as a child, and why I attracted that experience into my life. And that experience also made me realize that I am a healer. I remember, and I think it really was my first spiritual awakening, because when I was heartbroken, I was also open. It was a heartbreak, but it was also the heart opening, where the range of emotions that I felt, which were, you know, confusion, anger, but also unconditional love for someone that who has hurt me, and feeling like I can only love him from afar, and that is okay, and being okay with that, and being accepting of that, just felt like a spiritual experience for me. And even though I was in pain, there was something deep inside me that knew that I had to go through that, that this was part of my path. And then I started thinking about, like, if I'm in this much pain from a heartbreak from my first relationship, like, how are other people dealing with the loss of a child, loss of a spouse, you know, the divorce? So I think this experience just made me go down the rabbit hole, and I started seeking, and I wanted to understand the meaning behind suffering, why these things in life have to happen to us. And in hindsight, honestly, that heartbreak was one of the best things that's ever happened to me. But while in it, it was the worst thing ever, you know? So yeah, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to clearly see the path forward.
Ooh, I can relate to that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost the human condition of, because we are so used to or wanting comfort, it's when we get highly uncomfortable in pain, in heartbreak, in health challenges, that we're finally forced to do something different or to learn a new way of being, or to take on new skills or new perspective.
Totally.
Yeah. Pain also, I think, is such a teacher, because when you're in it, you can't escape it. But then, like you said, you can look back on things that have happened and say, wow, that granted me a perspective that I never would have had otherwise. That was something that galvanized a shift inherently in, like, who I am, in, like, innately in who I am, that maybe unlocked a key that you would then need to move forward and be who you're supposed to be and learn what you're supposed to learn. And a lot of times pain, in my eyes, shows us our potential and is a key to unlocking our purpose.
And that is beautiful.
Yeah. And I see and hear that with you, of going through this heartbreak, but still feeling unconditional love for someone, and just needing to draw that boundary and all of that is such a story of someone who would become a healer, who understands, you know, these kind of, like, as you expand your consciousness and you experience the world in a different way. We hold higher highs and lower lows, mm-hmm. and we're able to zoom out and look at things from a higher perspective, mm-hmm. where you can feel like you're on the floor having this terrible moment and also realize like I can still love and I am mm-hmm. not broken and I will get through it. And I think that's just a testament so much to who you are and a great reminder as well for people that are going through it mm-hmm. of it's just gonna feel bad. You can't escape the feeling of it, but mm-hmm. like lessons and learning come from it along the way.
Totally. Yeah, I think relationships are one of our greatest teachers, and they're also mirrors too, right? So mm-hmm. it's also that also sent me down a rabbit hole of like, oh, like it's bringing up shadows for me too, and my wounds mm-hmm. and all the shortcomings and I think also I learned about non-attachment and not having to my tendency to control, right, the situation mm-hmm. or the outcome, and accepting what is. And I think, I don't know, I'm butchering this, but there's a poem about how, you know, the kids that you have are not your kids. They just come through you. They're not yours. And it's kind of like that, you know, with your boyfriends or your partners, like they're not yours and they're not objects. They're their own people, right? So you have to kind of let them free and allow themselves to be whoever they are. And if your paths cross, then that's great. But if you guys go different directions, that's okay too. And it is really accepting like what is, right? And trusting that there's a reason for that ending, and trusting that there's someone else out there who's going to make you laugh again, or who's going to make you feel loved again. So, and yeah, just trusting that, you know, thinking about life from abundance instead of scarcity, and knowing that there's so, you know, that best is yet to come. Because I think even when these things happen to you, you think about, oh, like, I'm never going to find someone like this. I'm never going to find someone who's going to love me like this. And that's just a scarcity mindset, I think. I think you can feel that, and, you know, they can hold such value and meaning to who you are in your life, but it doesn't mean you're not going to feel that again, or that love isn't going to happen to you again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's fear-based, scarcity-based mm-hmm. and fear-based. And mm-hmm. I think in every moment of life, we can choose to turn towards love or expansion mm-hmm. or turn towards fear and contraction. Totally. And it's a good reminder. As you share, I just think about how beautiful it is to have such mastery of your emotions and be able to sort through that kind of psychological landscape, because mm-hmm. a lot of people these days reported through survey and all kinds of different reporting and modalities mm-hmm. don't even know what they're feeling and can't identify emotions that they're feeling. And I think that as we move through the world, like someone mm-hmm. with you who has such capacity for that, being a healer and being a therapist is so beautiful, because you can help others understand their emotions and mm-hmm. their life experience in general. And you mentioned earlier in our episode about making meaning of what happens to you, and mm-hmm. making meaning, I think, is one of the most important tools we have as human beings, because you can make something mean something negative, or you can choose to make it mean something positive.
Right.
And to me, being able to garner that perspective is a sign of success, mm-hmm. like a successful person. And so mm-hmm. I just want to kind of meander into this question of mm-hmm. with this podcast and my work and just life in general, I think we need a redefination of what success is mm-hmm. and doesn't have to be all these flashy cars and a certain amount of money in the bank account. Like, that can be a component mm-hmm. 100%.
Right.
But success is so much more than that. And from mm-hmm. a more holistic view, what does it mean to you to have to like see a successful life or to live a rich and deep and full life? What does that look like to you in your eyes?
Like you mentioned, I think, you know, before my 20s, I thought about success as having a big house, like having a lot of money and accomplishing a lot, right? And right now, I think doing what I love and I think feeling respected for what I do does matter to me. But truly, like, I know it sounds really cheesy, but I just want to be happy. And there were times, there were years where I made the most money, yet I was depressed and not feeling fulfilled. And I didn't see meaning in life, and that money in my bank account didn't matter. And I think I actually did this experiment, and I actually donated $1,000 to someone because I felt like I wanted to give up something that I was obsessing about. And I, that me giving that away felt so freeing, and that did something to me psychologically. But I was, you know, 1K, there was, you know, in my bank account, I had, you know, less money. But emotionally and mentally, I felt more full and happy. So it was just an experiment. I also wanted to give to this person, but it was also a testament about, as long as you have a roof over your head and you can pay for your bills and your rent and your food, everything, also money is relative too. Like your living conditions are relative. You'll get used to it. We're highly adaptable. So I think, yeah, to answer your question, I think just being fulfilled and happy while, you know, having the means to have a roof over my head and doing what I love and working with people I respect and also receiving that respect from my clients or whoever I'm working with.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is an abundant mindset. And also, I really believe that when we align with our gifts and we align that in a way of service and giving, we also receive. And totally. So, you know, you're setting yourself up for success and abundance in so many different ways. As we wrap up here, I just have a couple rapid fire questions for you. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
What is something currently on your bucket list?
On my bucket list, I really want to go back to Bali. I spent 5 days there when I was studying abroad in Singapore years ago. And that land is so, it's an energy vortex and so potent. And I just have a call to go back there for like a few weeks and just completely unplug.
I want to come.
Yeah.
What is your favorite or most recommended book?
I don't have a favorite, but I really, really enjoyed reading The Heart of the Buddha by Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Vietnamese monk, Buddhist. And I found this book, it's funny, talking about synchronicities. I was at a friend's house and this book, I was sitting in a chair and this book literally fell on my, like literally fell on my lap from the coffee table. And I started reading like the back cover and I was like, wait, this is speaking to my soul. And I was going through depression at that time. And it talks about suffering a lot and how to make meaning of suffering and the right path out of it. And it was just a perfect book at that time. And I highly recommend it to anyone.
Thank you. What's something you firmly believe in that is not mainstream or people might think is a little out there?
a lot. I believe in the law of, it's kind of like karma, but I think when people think about karma, they think about, oh, if I do this, something bad will happen to me. It's more like I believe in the law of cause and effect. So every intention, everything you do, everything you say has an effect, and you are co-creating with the universe intelligence because you have a role in whatever you do. You have a say in whatever you do.
I love that. What does the world need more of?
Compassion and less judgment.
Amen. What would you tell your younger self?
Stop worrying. Everything will work out.
Last one here. And maybe 60 second message. What is a message for our listeners and watchers today? Like a love note or words of encouragement or wisdom, inspiration, perspective that you just feel might be needed to be heard today?
I think truly all the answers that I was seeking and the connection that I was seeking was found in the silence from the moments that I spent in solitude and really getting to know myself. And I truly believe, everyone that comes into your life, you don't really know if they're, staying, or what's that saying? It's like it's either
a season, a reason, or a lifetime.
Yes. but you have yourself for the rest of your life. And I think truly getting to know yourself will be befriending yourself will be one of the best investments you'll make. And
shout it from the rooftops. I totally agree. Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your heart and your wisdom and your perspective. It means a lot. And I think listeners will get a lot out of it. If someone wanted to connect with you to share feedback or words of love, or maybe get some Reiki done with you, where can people find you out in the world?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's stayandvibe.org. And then you can also DM me on Instagram, which is stayandvibe.
Amazing. Okay. I'll link that in the show notes as well, so everyone can easily find it. Thank you again so much your time. Yeah.
Yay. I'm so excited super to catch up after this. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Adios.
Bye.
All right, fam. Wasn't that a good one? You know what to do if you would like to support this podcast. Please hit subscribe, hit follow, rate, and review. It really helps the podcast and means the world to me. So that will also allow you to get the episodes delivered to your inbox automatically each week, so you don't have to search for the podcast. And it helps me because I know that I'm getting into your ears. If there is any desire to go deeper into your own transformational work, for you to explore your purpose, for you to step into the next chapter of your life, please reach out if you are interested in coaching and mentorship. And if you're interested in any energy healing, Reiki healing, you should reach out to Hay because she is incredible. So that's wrapping up for the episode, and see you on the next one. May you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be hopeful and safe. May you feel seen, heard, known, and loved. And I love you. Goodbye.